Hey there, welcome to Made in Japan, Conversations with Meljo Catalan. This is my podcast about Japan, but not just your run-of-the-mill Cool Japan podcast. I want to explore a side of Japan besides sushi, sumo, anime, and video games. I'm here to extrapolate and meditate with the local people that your travel guide doesn't touch on. People from all walks of life sharing their stories, their trials and tribulations, and their successes. People who are hungry for making it, and people who have made it. This podcast are my talks with them. This episode, we are going to continue with my interview with Ki Innes. If you haven't heard episode 5, we talked about Ki Innes mostly as an illustrator. So if you haven't done that yet, please go and check out episode 5. If you did, well, let's continue the journey to Ki Innes as a Wing Chun instructor. We will talk about, you know, his inspirations, how he got into the martial arts, and then whether it was inadvertent, but it was bound to happen that we were going to dive really deep into Bruce Lee and our fanaticism with Bruce Lee, and I think the people, you know, just as an advisory for those of you, especially to those Bruce Lee fans and martial art film fans, those Shaw Brothers Studios film fans, this episode is definitely for you. And no doubt we also give some respect to the great Jackie Chan. Our film-loving banter seriously just encircles around the philosophy and the techniques of Wing Chun, which I think you guys will find it fascinating. So if you just, you know, take a seat, you know, kick back, relax, and just, I let Ki go into automatic drive and just to steer us towards his passion of Wing Chun. And so without further ado, let's get into it. This is Ki Innes as a Wing Chun instructor. Here we go.
Walter was the connection, actually, right. You know, but yeah, I mean, there's
well, I want to go back before how did you start the Wing Chun classes
when I was in college? Okay, so like I said, I, like every other kid, you know, wanted to learn, you know, wanted to see some Bruce Lee movies. I want to try that. But they're not really serious about it, you know, to be honest. You know, they want to play act, or they want to reproduce what they saw, yep, or what they think they saw, you know, on a television screen or on a movie screen. And it's understandable, you know, and it is a little exciting to think that it's somewhat accessible because they're schools.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, if there was a school for you, like, to be like a Marvel Comics superhero, you'd probably go check it out, right?
Oh, yeah. I'd go straight.
So it's like, if kids think it's hey, look, you know, if you can learn how to do that,
yeah,
you know, I mean, I can understand kids, you know, being interested in wanting to go. So I'll confess that I tried some karate school when I was in high school, and I remember, you know, I did the whole thing. I got the gi and all this kind of stuff, and I was getting excited, like, mm-hmm, going. And then, you know, my sister was even, you know, she was encouraging and all this kind of stuff. And then, like, when I actually got there, I wasn't really, because I was like, wait a minute, like, I have to, like, concentrate.
Got really annoyed.
No, I was not ready. I was just not ready because, like, I remember the instructors were trying to show me things.
Yeah.
And I was just, you know, I was just copying what they were doing, but I was not thinking any sort of context.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I might as well have just been doing, like, you know, square dancing or something like that. I mean, I was not really thinking about like what I was doing. And then, you know, after a while, I just, make a long story short, I lost interest, and I stopped going.
Okay.
And when I got to college, I always felt bad about that. I always felt bad that the fact that I didn't follow through with it.
Yeah.
Because I did have an interest in it, but I was like, you know, let me try this again, you know, because, you know, I was young at the time. I was still like maybe 14, 15 time, you know. So my school was offering, they had classes in Taekwondo and in Judo.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this like 100%.
Yeah.
And so I did Taekwondo and Judo for 2 years when I was at Howard. And okay. And I noticed when I was doing it, my concentration was a lot better.
Oh, good.
My grades were a lot better. I was a lot calmer at the time. And
I can't picture a short-tempered key. I really can't right now.
If you talk to some of my friends that went to be with
Howard,
I went through the angry young man.
Kind of thing. Don't we all? I guess.
I was just very. It was a whole bunch of things.
Sure.
A whole bunch of reasons why. Like maybe I was, you know, I was moody. Stuff like that. There was a whole bunch of reasons. Yeah. You know, it's not just like the martial arts, but I guess it's the lifestyle because I noticed like when I started going, I mean my diet started to change a little bit too, right? Because I was like I can't eat like junk food like after. I mean, that's okay. I mean, a little cheesecake is okay, you know. But eating like a whole Domino's pizza by yourself, that's not cool, right? No. So I noticed, you know, the things I was putting into my body, I think you know that had a direct impact in terms of like my the way my mind was operating.
Sure.
You know, in terms of so anyway, when I graduated Howard, I wanted to continue. I still wanted to receive that benefit that I got in terms of just having something that was going to center me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Something that I knew was going to be healthy for me.
Mm-hmm.
It did not necessarily have to be, you know, a whole new life for me, but I wanted something that was going to complement my life.
Yeah.
So I knew that I wanted to continue it, and there's nothing against judo. I love judo. It was great.
Yeah.
Nothing against taekwondo, but I wanted to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to do something that. It's to my perception something that was a little bit more complete, because like the judo was always like, you know, you're always starting from this fixed position, like you're already in contact,
right,
you know, like, you know, this person already has his hands on you, kind of thing. And then the taekwondo, actually, and there are two schools of taekwondo, by the way, two federations.
Okay.
One federation, they use legs and hands.
Oh, okay.
You know, there's another federation where it's just kicks only.
That's what that's my image of taekwondo, which is just really flashy spinning kicks.
Yeah, and that's essentially, well, when I was studying, I remember once I was sparring with this guy, I came in with a kick, and then I was this close to him, and so I was, you know, so I hit him in the chest, you know, because I was like, well, what am I gonna do? And then the instructor is like, oh, don't you do that. I'm like, what? Like, huh? Like, isn't that what I'm supposed to do? We're fighting, right? So that stuck with me because I wanted to use my hands.
Yeah.
And I wanted to use, I wanted to kick as well.
I feel like I want to grab the guy when if you're fighting, right? The natural thing I would perceive is just grabbing the guy, just trying to take him down as quickly as possible.
Well, that's right. The thing is you want to end the fight as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
And actually you have the right idea, which is, you know, at least from our philosophy in terms of fighting, the priority is exploiting the other person's balance.
Okay.
You know, it's not like the cinematic, like,
and then you
hit him like 1,000 times, you know, and then he explodes and stuff like that. No, it's, you know, the priority you want to I mean, you might get lucky. You might catch him in the jaw. Right, right. But still, the main thing is like, you know, you want to exploit his balance. Yeah, yeah. So, and I just had this impression that Kung Fu, not particularly Wing Chun, but yeah. But Kung Fu was more of this complete system. I mean, I know whenever I saw people doing it, I saw, you know, they're using their feet, they're using their hands, mm-hmm. they're coming in close, you know, they're doing takedowns, they're yeah. doing wrist locks, yeah. all this kind of yeah. stuff. So I was like, yeah, maybe like that's the way to go. It's a little flashy, it looks a little artsy.
When was the first time you saw Wing Chun? Because for me, probably the first time I saw Wing Chun was like Bruce Lee, probably in my head was that Jackie Chan movie.
Oh,
where I think it's Rumble in the Bronx.
Rumble in the Bronx, right?
Where he had the wooden arm thing, and I'm like, what is this?
Pop, 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 pop. Yeah.
And I'm like, I think this is super cool, and it's cooler than actual yeah. fighting itself.
I know people always get enamored by the wooden dummy.
So was it like that for you?
No. Okay. Actually, the first time that I actually saw Kung Fu? The first time I actually saw Kung Fu, I didn't know I was looking at Kung Fu, and I didn't know, and the first time I encountered Kung Fu, and I got hit with it.
Oh.
And I didn't even know what it was. So there was a guy, see, it's funny how these things work out, because like I didn't know what was happening. Mm-hmm. Until like, 8 years later. when I was in my Taekwondo class, yeah. we had a visitor. And sometimes we had some visitors, so it's people, you know, that go and come back.
Okay.
And so you're in Taekwondo, usually, you know, you're in this you know, this ready stance, yeah, and you're bouncing like on the balls of your feet, right? Yeah, yeah. So you know, I'm bouncing, I'm sparring, actually, and there were many people sparring at the same time.
I see.
All right, so it wasn't like, you know, we were like in the center of attention, right? Mm-hmm, so there were people sparring. Mm-hmm. So I was getting up with this, and I didn't know this guy, you know, mm-hmm. so we could spar. And I noticed he did something strange. Mm-hmm. Instead of doing this, mm-hmm. he just did like that. Mm-hmm. And then he wasn't bouncing. He was just like, he was just standing there.
Like with just an open hand.
Like this, right?
Okay, yeah.
I was like, what the? What is that? It's like, don't you know I'm gonna kick you, man? You know, so I tried to just do the usual, like, you know, like this kind of like lead roundhouse kick, right?
Right, yeah.
And when I came in, he just came forward, bam!
Oh,
and kicked me straight. And I swear to God, it felt like it was kicked by a horse. I swear, I felt like I was kicked by, and I went flying back.
It was like right in your midsection?
Right in my midsection, okay. And I went flying back. Mm. I hit the wall. I was like, what the, what was that? Like, huh? And I was like, okay, like, maybe, like he got lucky.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, let me, let's try. And I tried the same thing, but faster. I came up, bam, same thing. He just came on a straight line.
Yeah.
Straight line, I'm coming on a rounded line. Uh-huh. He's coming on a straight mm-hmm. line, mm-hmm. right? That's the basic principle of Wing yeah. Chun, which is, you know, shortest distance between two points
yeah.
is a straight line,
yeah.
and Wing Chun is always about on straight lines. Okay. So he kicked me again, and I was like, and I was like, you know, it was like in the cartoons, like, you know, like you see like stars and those kind of stuff. Yeah. And I was like, hold up, you know, and then. So I got myself, and then I saw now it's a little bit different. He's coming at me, mm-hmm. but he's not, you know, he's kind of like just coming straight mm-hmm. like this. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God, like what is this? And then I heard the instructor, the same guy who yelled at me, right, yeah. you know, for some other thing. He's like, don't you do that in my school. Don't you do that in my school. And the guy's like, oh man, okay. And then so he just, it's almost like he just turned something off. And wow. then he went back to doing that.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh, what the fuck was it? Excuse me. Yeah, no, I don't know what that was. Yeah. And then when I started learning Wing Chun, mm. you know, I learned, you know, about our front kick.
Yeah.
Which is basically, well, it's a jeet-tek. Jeet-tek is a stop kick.
Okay.
So basically someone is rushing at you, right? You know, basically you stop them with the lead front kick. Uh-huh. From, you know, preferably, you know, with the foot that's closest towards him.
Yeah.
So cuz basically my you know, I don't care, you know, who you are. I mean, unless you're a gorilla, my legs are always going to be longer than your arms.
Sure.
Right? So I started doing it. I was like, man, this looks familiar. Mm. Like, what? I've seen this before. And then it was like, I went back. I was like, oh my God. That
8 years ago, my chest hurt.
That guy was a Wing Chun guy. You know, he was a Wing Chun guy.
Was he in that school in the first place?
It happens. Okay. People in martial arts sometimes. They sneak in, or they, you know, they're doing cross training, yeah, whatever they're doing. But it happens sometimes.
Okay.
So that was my first experience with kung fu. But I didn't know what it was at the time. But in terms of maybe seeing like what kung fu was, of course, it was like, you know, like maybe like, you know, was Bruce Lee, most likely.
Yeah,
it was Bruce Lee. But I didn't know what he was doing. I didn't know he was studying Wing Chun. I just thought Bruce Lee. I thought he was just doing his.
Have you read Bruce Lee's book when he was in the hospital and he wrote the book on his
The Dao Chi Kundo?
Yeah,
I've read the Dao Chi Kundo.
I've always thought I read it in high school, not because of wanting to practice martial arts, but I just love that philosophy. Mm-hmm. I thought it was you know, at that time I was into poetry.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, that was my specialty for a long time, you know, as an English major, poetry, and that was poetry, what he wrote.
Yeah. Well, the Dao Chi Kundo, I mean, it's really like taken from like his, the truth is, the Dao Chi Kundo, despite like what you see like in like the movie, Dao Chi Kundo was published after he died.
Oh, so it wasn't meant to be public. Okay.
No, it wasn't. Okay. Bruce Lee was writing all the time.
Okay.
He's writing notes all the time.
Right.
He was drawing and doing diagrams. Yeah, so when you look at it, you see these little diagrams, stuff like that. Basically, what his wife, Linda Lee, decided to do, and maybe help somebody else, was to take the core of what his philosophy was in the notes he had written over the years, in the diagrams, and put that into a book.
I see.
And that became the Dao Chi Kundo. But Bruce Lee, the only other book that was published, actually, no, there were two books that were actually published when Bruce was alive, was, I think it's just called, Gung Fu.
Okay.
I think the title is just Gung Fu. Gung Fu, like, because Bruce always wanted to make sure it was pronounced with the Cantonese accent, right? Yeah. So Gung Fu. And the second one is, well, he didn't really write it, but he was a key consultant and editor on it, which was Wing Chun, the very first Wing Chun book. Which is like the Green Book.
Okay.
It was really written by James Lee, who was a friend of, there's no relation, but very friend of Bruce Lee. But Bruce Lee was a consultant and all that. So he gets kind of like a co-authorship on it.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
But after he died, there were other books that were published, which was like the Bruce Lee's Fighting Method.
Those
books are great. I mean, some things are gold, man. Because he breaks it down to like basic training, to like just basic essentials you'll need, and he never says like this is Jeet Kune Do. You know, this is just basically like his particular way of doing things. But there's a whole thing. There's just tons and tons of stuff that he has written. Not all of it has been published while he was alive, but a lot of stuff has been published after after he's passed away, actually. So
do you find your, you know, I would imagine illustrating as a as a form of meditation, and Wing Chun is like a form of meditation. Do you find when you're doing your both passions, like, is it the same feeling inside you, like, you know,
in a way. I mean, there's this search for truth, obviously. Okay. I mean, it's get a little, you know, cosmic or whatever,
right.
You know, but there is this this search for truth, or this need to, you know, to express truth, you know, whether it's physically through martial arts, you know, physically, or in the line, in terms of like what you're trying to communicate in the paper. I find they're interesting things in terms of principles regarding energies and okay. force. Okay. For example, in Kung Fu, I mean, it may be interesting just general, because Kung Fu is rooted in Taoism,
right,
as you know, right? And of course, like Lao Tzu, or you know, Lao Tzu is in Japanese, was always about, in terms of like, well, you know, it's not about like one or the other. It's about about fighting like this balance between the two.
Okay.
Because like black and white, or positive, negative, or not opposites. They're they're complements, and they can change places quite quickly.
And you need them as to harmonize with each other.
Yeah. Exactly right. Because they, like one has no value without the other.
So for the layman, how would you explain Wing Chun to anyone? You know, your first students when they come in, or your beginner students when they first your first lesson, like what do you say? Like,
well, the first thing I teach them is, well, first of all, the one thing I it's very, very important to me is to be responsible.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not out here. I'm not training, you know, assassins and killers and stuff like that, you right. know, and I really believe there are people out there who don't need Wing Chun.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
In other words, what I'm saying is, you know, there are some people who join martial arts because they want to have a weapon.
Weapon, right.
Like some people, I think the same kind of people who might get a pit bull, not because they want a companion, but they want to have a weapon.
Weapon, right.
You know,
right.
So I'm not interested in teaching those kinds of people. You know, they, you know, if someone comes to my school and they're flexing, you know, and right, you know, right. you know,
have you ever had those type of people come in?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, okay. yeah, once or twice, and okay. you know, and usually they don't stay, or I don't accept them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so there you go.
It's really hard to describe Wing Chun to like the fighting style.
Okay,
well, because like it's really hard to, because I can only see it in like video games or movies. It's very, very close quarter.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
It's very like you can fight in, you know, like
a bathroom.
My bathroom, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that, right there, like my little.
I think that's what it's designed for, and this is maybe not the most. Affectionate thing I will ever say about Wing Chun, but I don't think Wing Chun was really intended to, you know, be considered to be like, you know, Wing Chun is great,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
but it has a lot of limitations.
Sure.
Guru Dan in the Santo, you know, he say, well, you know, Wing Chun works really well in a bathroom.
If you're in a bind, in the bathroom.
If you're on the train or something like that, it's crowded. Yeah, it's gonna
perfect.
Yeah, you'd be great. You know, but if you're like in a big open area, and the guy's like running around, stuff like that, you know, the guy's like Muhammad Ali, and he's trying to keep you at a distance and stuff like that. Yeah, you're gonna need something else. Mm. You know. Mm. So the most important thing about Wing Chun is the center line.
Yeah.
So right down the middle of your body is a concept we call it, it's the center line.
Yeah.
And I like to say like this is your weakest point because all your vitals are on here.
Yeah.
But this is also your strongest point as well. It gets really deep.
Mm.
But just in terms of like how our structure works.
Yeah.
And our primary focus is always to attack the center line. It's always to attack the center line.
Mm-hmm.
So if something should take me off the center line, I'm going to come back to it. Something takes me off, I'm going to come back. I'm just going to come back to it.
Mm-hmm.
And by attacking the center line, and also by defending the center line as well. I mean, not only, you know, are you're holding your balance fast, but you're also, if he doesn't know what to do, you can unbalance your opponent quite quickly and quite easily, you know, by attacking your center line.
Huh.
This whole thing about like the one-inch punch kind of thing, you might have seen.
Yes, I've seen. This is the
I love Bruce Lee,
yeah,
but you know, it's not all that. It's not some, you know, I don't know, some ancient Chinese, you know, no. mystical secret that gets only. It's just plain physics.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the way Bruce Lee is doing the one-inch punch, or any person who, you know, who knows how to do it.
Yeah.
You'll notice the person is always standing like square on right. for the person. He's not like in a fighting stance, like off like that, right? His center line is facing that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the person who's doing the one-inch punch is basically, you know, they're striking directly on the center line. Now, keep in mind, okay, there are some Wing Chun principles that are being applied here that that most people don't know about, and I can't explain over in a podcast. But the reason why they're flying back like that is because he's striking right on the center line.
Okay, so it's really just a really mm-hmm. important part for like our bodies.
Mm-hmm. So that's really, and of course, Wing Chun employs contact reflexes. You might see people like doing something called Chi Sao.
Mm-hmm.
Chi Sao is just basically, it's like once you're in connection with your opponent or partner, the point is like to read like where his energy is going.
Okay.
So basically, you know, if he's being very, very strong, then you can just like let that go.
Okay.
Right? You can cover that and come in. If he's being too weak, then you're just gonna come on in.
Okay.
So the best way I can describe it is like, imagine like if you had like really big like magnetic bands like on your wrists.
Uh-huh.
And the other guy has like a big magnet like Iron Man, so basically if you're just letting it go, it's gonna go there directly.
That's what you're supposed to be visualizing,
kind of.
Okay,
that's one way you always, again, so like I said, if something because there will be other forces working against this path, in other words, like, my hand wants to go from here to there,
right?
So if something is gonna take me off that path, I'm gonna keep on going.
Okay.
It's not like I go like that. No, it's always to come back.
To me, that sense that when I see it as a observer, that looks so beautiful to see the back and forth, the blocking.
Mm.
To me, I'm like, that is like a dance. It's a dance to me
in a way, because they're like, rhythms,
and I think that's why I think people will find Wing Chun fascinating and may interesting to try out.
Wing Chun is great. Also, in terms of the wooden dummy, by the way, so there are 108 techniques on the wooden dummy.
Yeah,
and these are just basically it's just a literal physical manual of all the possible, generally speaking, because quite frankly, I think Wing Chun is kind of like a language.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you can teach someone, you know, like 108 words or 108 principles in terms of grammar, but like how you arrange that is up to that individual or to the situation. So yeah, there are 108 techniques that we have to memorize.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what you saw Jackie Chan doing, I mean, all respect to Jackie Chan. I mean, Jackie Chan is, I know he knows some Wing Chun, you know, but like what he was doing was, I mean, he was kind of like looping like the same technique over and over again.
Okay.
You know, I mean,
it's for the movies. It's for, you know.
I don't want to fight Jackie Chan.
Okay,
even at his age, man, I would never fight Jackie Chan.
Speaking of, like, just a little lightly touching on Jackie Chan.
Mm-hmm.
I was, the first time I saw The Legend of Drunken Master.
Oh my God, yeah.
The first time I was over my Chinese buddy's house.
Yeah.
I think I was like in junior high,
high school.
And he had it, and like, he just wept at it. It was the original Chinese, English dub.
Oh wow.
And he didn't even play the whole movie. He's like, hey guys, you want to see some cool thing?
Plop it in. Right.
It was the final, like 15-minute finale fight.
Right. This is part one, the very first one.
He just goes nuts.
Right. Yeah,
and I'm sitting there, I'm looking at it, so I'm like, this is, and I guess it was, it all one cut, I think.
I can't remember
if it was or not, but like it looked like it was all in one take.
Yeah.
And I was just mesmerized. Yeah. Just like,
oh, he's great, man. I mean, he's great. I mean, no, the great thing about Jackie Chan, and again, I'm not taking, like I said,
yeah,
I mean,
he's done it.
It's like, if you know, if you brought Jackie Chan in this room, and he's like, all right, I'm gonna close the door, it's gonna be you and Jackie Chan for like 5 minutes.
It's like my bathroom.
Yeah, I'm gonna be flying out the bathroom, basically. But if I'm correct, Jackie Chan got his foundation training in Chinese opera.
Yes, I heard something like that. Yeah, yeah, he was in performance theater.
Yeah, it was him, a guy named Yong Biao, Sammo Hung.
Okay.
They all came up, you know, Sammo Hung, like the big, you know.
Oh, yeah, right. Big guy, yep.
So they all came up together pretty much at the same time. So, you know, they were learning stage combat, you know, so they're because they're doing for the Chinese opera, so, you know, because they're learning how to flip, all this kind of stuff, or how to sell a strike. In other words, like someone, I don't know what they, because I don't know how it goes, but if someone punches and someone, they fly back and then land on their back and they flip back up and that kind of stuff. So, but, you know, they had to know a little bit of everything.
They were trained since they were like young. They were just growing up.
It sounded like it was like, I don't know, like the Chinese opera version of like Oliver Twist and whatnot. There was this one story. I mean, I heard from Jackie Chan. What was it? He said that when he was very small, like his teacher was so mean, and he's like, there was like some big wall or whatever. You know, that was like four times as big as he was. Right. He's like, jump over that wall. And he was like, jump over that wall. And then the teacher like hit him with a stick, and he said he flew over that wall. You know, so, but he's...
Oh, man.
Yeah, sometimes, I mean, he makes jokes about it, but I see his face, he looks like it was probably, you know, not his happiest years, actually. So
I guess to put it lightly, he's definitely done his time.
Yeah. But he knows a little bit of everything. You know, I mean, it's not just, you know, I think the reason why Wing Chun is so popular is great because of Bruce Lee.
Right.
Really, you know, and I'll say it, you know, I think 80% of the people who are in Wing Chun, you know, are always a little bit trying to chase a little bit that magic that Bruce Lee employed.
Sure.
But you know what Bruce Lee was doing was what Bruce Lee was doing.
It was never done before him.
I can't name names, but you know there were other, even way before Bruce Lee. Like there were a whole bunch of like Wong Fei Hung movies from the early 60s.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, so I can't remember the actor's name, but you know, but he was like the great action star.
Star, right.
At the time. Right. And by the time like Bruce Lee came around, let's focus on Hong Kong.
Yeah.
You know, I guess they had, you know, Golden Harvest or you know, whoever, you know, they had like their stable,
right,
you know, of you know, who their stars were
right
within that universe of Hong Kong cinema. Mm. And of course, you know, it's all this, they call it chop socket, you know, there's, or like, you know, the vroom, 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 you know, this kind of very, very like static and like, right, they're really like posing this kind of
love
stuff.
Love it, love it.
Yeah. But, you know, Bruce said, I think he went to, what's his name? What's this guy's name? Raymond Chow,
that was the thing, just thinking about his
name. Yeah, and he passed away last year. And I remember it was an interview I saw with Raymond Chow, and he said he had a talk with Bruce, and he said Bruce like named the film that was like making like the most money from their studio at that time, and he said according to Raymond Chow, he said directly, he said, so is that the best you can do? And he was like, he respected that he had the nerve to actually, you know, because he's like, that's our best selling picture right now. And he said, is that the best you can do, really? And that's a legit question to ask, sure, you know. And he said, well, I assure you, you know, I can do a lot better than that, you know. Yeah, so,
man, and that's the thing that we all wish to see, you know. And he could have gone, you know, if he didn't pass away so young, he could have done some. An amazing film.
Oh, he was
ready.
He was
right there.
He was right on the cusp, man. I mean, because he had been he not flirty. He had been around like the Hollywood circles, mm-hmm. you know, like during like the 60s, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like he was good friend. He was friends with Roman Polanski,
yes,
and yeah. Sharon Tate, who yeah, was, you know.
He was well known yeah. in the Hollywood scene, yeah.
Steve McQueen was his student. Mm-hmm. James Coburn was his student.
The basketball player.
Kareem
Abdul.
Was also his student. Who else? He was friends with a great screenwriter named Sterling Siliphant.
Okay.
Who else? All these people knew that, you know, there was this gem
yeah.
of talent, which is Bruce Lee. It was just convincing the studios to invest in him, you know. And like you know about the Kung Fu TV show yeah, and about yeah, that, yeah, right? Yeah, they yeah. basically
just completely
they took it from him. You know, yeah. you know it was his idea.
It's supposed to be him.
That was his idea, mm-hmm. man, and they took it away because he was too Chinese, mm-hmm. you know. And even when he got Enter the Dragon,
mm-hmm.
I mean, when the credits open, right? You've seen it, right? It's Bruce Lee, John Saxon. No, or is it John Saxon Bruce Lee? I'm not sure, but it's like
they switched it or something like that.
But how are you going to share billing with somebody in your own movie? It's called Enter the Dragon, not Enter the Dragon and this other guy. You know, it's like, I mean, how are you going to be a co-star in your own movie?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So, and, you know, John Saxon knew what was up. I mean, nothing against John Saxon, but mm-hmm. like he knew he was brought on to the movie because to help sell it because they needed it. Say what it is, you know, they needed a white Anglo-Saxon male to help sell it.
They need something to connect with the audience.
Yeah. You know, so that's what happened, you know. Mm. So, but anyway, he was actually, I think, I can't remember the story correctly, but the guy, what's his name? John Lazenby, who was James Bond in his
secret... You know, His Majesty's Secret Service.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They were working on something together, and something was giving me the pan out.
Okay.
Using him, I think Lazenby actually said, "I'm not going to do this movie unless like, you find." Don't quote me, but it was something right. along the lines like he was trying to find a way to shoehorn Bruce Lee into this major movie.
Oh, man, that'd have been great.
You know,
great.
And but the thing is, like, if Enter the Dragon came out, and Bruce was still alive, mm-hmm. and then. Then I don't know this Lazenby pick, you know, what came out, and what else? Another thing, it was the month that Bruce Lee died. Now I'm a little bit older than you, so I'm not sure.
Well, he was filming The Game of Death when he was. Was he Game of? No. It was Enter the Dragon. Enter the Dragon.
He was working on Game of Death because he got frustrated with Hollywood. So he went to Asia.
Yeah.
And so he did all those movies, and then he was working on Game of Death.
That's right.
Then his lottery ticket came in. He said, "Hey, Bruce, Warner Brothers wants to do a film with you."
Yeah.
You know, so he stopped working on Game of Death, and he went to shoot Into the Dragon.
That's right.
But he was supposed to have met with Hanna-Barbera.
Huh.
Because they wanted to discuss with him the possibility of like doing an animated series.
That would have been sick.
So, because this is 70 something,
yep.
And around that time, Hanna-Barbera was trying to diversify, you know, their lineup of animation for television.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you know they had like Scooby Doo mm-hmm. and they had, you know, Josie and the Pussycats and stuff mm-hmm. like that, mm-hmm. and they wanted to do some kind of so you might be. Too young to remember, but there was a series that came out that was called is it Charlie Chan and the Chan Clan?
Yeah, this is way before me, man. Yeah.
But basically, you know, it's a Hanna-Barbera. It's the usual thing, you know. It's a mystery
sure.
team or yep. family, yep. and of course, you know, there's an animal sidekick, you know, and you know, of course, you know. Only thing it was based on, you know, Charlie Chan is like, you know, that old stereotypical Chinese detective guy. Yep. But they wanted to tie it in. Okay, they have Charlie Chan, who was a recognizable character. But his family were, you know, were these teenagers.
Uh-huh.
So that would, because at the time, like young was a hot thing, right? Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. So everything that was like teen culture at that time was hot. But mm-hmm. but I don't know what they were gonna say with Bruce Lee, but basically, you know, it was on the table.
That's
you
amazing.
Know, so you know, if he had he lived, there might have been. Actually, I'm quite sure, you know, Brucey would have turned up in some animated form.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
I love how this episode has just turned into a kind of like a Bruce Lee special.
Yeah. Well,
I've read my share of
Bruce Lee stories.
I'm just happy that you just sparked it up again because I had so much. Bruce Lee definitely shaped up a lot of our most. Especially in my family, most of my siblings and I, we shaped our lives growing up. But anyways, I guess my last question, I mean, let's totally go back to just Japan general, is what's your advice, you know, as a illustrator, as a martial artist, you know, whether it's a person that is in those two fields wanting to come and live in Japan, any comments or advice for people that are interested to wanting to live in Japan and want to pursue those fields of work? Anything that you'd like to comment about?
Well, if you're going to come to Japan, if you're going to be here for a while, the good thing about it is if you have some sort of interest in I don't know if it's illustration or animation or art or whatever it is. The good thing about being in Japan as a Westerner is that, you know, I believe like we're a little bit insulated from certain distractions that we might have back home.
Mm-hmm.
And I notice these distractions. I mean, as much as I miss my home and I love New York and I love going home. It's like once you're back in the culture again, like for some reason, like your mind tends like to fall on things that are really not so important or not really contributing to like the direction you want to go in.
You can get distracted easily.
Yeah. Whether it's like some gossip nonsense or something in the news or the crazy guy in the train or whatever. Like so that it's kind of good. So it's almost like you can consider yourself being like on a sabbatical here, you know. So you can focus on that. So that's a good thing.
That's a good way to think about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. In terms of coming here, and if you want to like focus your craft on these things, well, you know, try to make sure like you set up some sort of schedule for yourself so that you always have a consistent. You have a consistent schedule like where you're practicing that, you know. So don't let it be sporadic. If it's however you form your schedule, like make sure like you have something that you're doing every single day to move yourself in that direction. Great. Yeah, so for lack of a better way of saying, always making sure you have something that always going to bring you back to your center. So
back to that center line.
Exactly. So you know, and if you are really passionate about it, I really do believe that. Yes, I mean, I'm not trying to be cosmic about it, but there is something about these laws of attraction. If you have a certain interest in a certain area, things will come your way.
Yeah.
You know, if you're about, you know, Wing Chun, if you're about martial arts, if you're really passionate about that, things will happen to line yourself up with other situations or other people who have interest in that. You know, when I came here, I had no intent. It was not my intention to end up becoming an instructor.
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah.
when I first came here, I'm sorry, I have to wrap this up.
No, you're almost wrapped up.
I was an assistant instructor when I was in New York. I was helping my sifu teach, and I was like one test away from my instructor's test. But when I came here, I just wanted to keep on practicing what I was doing, and it was something that was so important to my daily life that I just couldn't just stop doing it. So I ended up teaching. Like I made a deal with Walter. I said, "Hey, look, man, I need to keep up my practice." It seems like you're very interested in this. You know, if you are interested, if you do like a weekly thing, I will, you know, teach you, you know, in exchange for you know, being my stand-in wooden dummy, pretty much, you know.
Right.
So, you know, one person became became three, yeah. because it's a long story how that happened, yeah, yeah, but yeah. three became four, yeah. four, now I have 11 students now.
That's great.
You know?
That's great.
And in terms of, you know, the animation thing, or the you know, art thing, like I said, you know, things will line up, if you have a passion for it, things will line up. I did not expect, you know, of all the things for Walter to say when he was looking at my shoulder and he said, oh yeah, that's Glenn Vilppu. I'm like, I mean, it's funny how that really works. That turns out.
I guess we should just give a big shout out to Walter, you know?
It's a big thank you to Walter.
Big thank you.
No, really. Big, you know, if Walter, if you're hearing this, you know, really, I gotta say thank you, because, you know, you've been a great student and great friend, you know, and I really have to give my thanks, you know, because he definitely played a part in helping facilitate me being an instructor and me forming Master Drawing Japan.
Yeah, it's great.
Really.
Sometime in the future, we should just hang out and just have a chat.
I think it's in due time. I think you're long overdue.
Long overdue, man.
So anyway,
thank you, man.
Thank you.
So finally, where can people reach you if they want to reach you? Like, I know you have a lot of handles, right?
Maybe too many. Too many.
So, like, go ahead.
Because right now, It will be relaunched soon. The main website for the traditional Wing Chun Academy Tokyo. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's the formal name of the school. The traditional Wing Chun Academy Tokyo. The website will be launched maybe in about a month or so.
Great.
But in the meantime, if they want to find me on social media.
Yeah.
You can find me on Instagram, and then on the Instagram profile, any information about other ways of getting in contact with me are there, you know, like email addresses or websites and stuff like that. So you can find me on Instagram under Sifu Ki Innes. Sifu is Sifu. I think it's hyphen K-I hyphen I-N-N-I-S.
Okay. Yep.
Okay. And in terms of my art animation endeavors, for my art animation masterclasses, I can be found on my website, which is masterdrawingjapan.com. Mm. And all the ways of getting in contact with me are there as well.
Okay, one last thing. Yeah.
If I like to keep up my blog, which is filled with like tutorials and suggestions for drawing and animation, and that's on my blog, which is Key Creative Studio, blogspot.com.
Okay,
and you guys can check that out and get some animation and drawing tips on there.
Yeah, I'll put all the links too on my liner notes as well.
Thank you very much,
no
man.
No problem, Keith.
And again,
this was a blast, though.
I'm sorry if anybody got lost or if it was not interesting. I apologize. I'll try to make it. But I
usually spend some time commenting, but I'm like, no, I just want to hear you.
I'm sorry. So anyway, I hope this was worth somebody's time.
I'm sure it will be.
Okay. All right. But anyway, thank you, man.
Thank you, Keith. Thank
you very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay.
You're welcome.
So that was Key as the Wing Chun specialist, and overall with his illustration and animating side and his martial arts side, the guy is an all-around stand-up person in the community as a whole. I would like to thank him one more time. He was a great guest, and I can't just say enough that we could just keep going on and on for days just talking about whatever, whomever, you know, wherever. You can, you know, as he said, you can feel free to reach him through all his handles. And he also mentions that if anyone is living in Tokyo and is interested in Wing Chun, you are more welcome to visit one of his classes. So just check it out on his Instagram page and his Facebook page. So you are listening to Made in Japan, Conversations with Meljo Catalan. thank you all for listening. Please check me out. I am always on Instagram as Made in Japan Podcast. That's at Made in Japan Podcast, as well as my Facebook, the same name, Made in Japan Podcast. And you can please email or make any comments on my email, which is japanmademepodcast@gmail.com. So also on my anchor.fm, once again, I just want to keep telling people to, you know, feel free to like and subscribe to wherever you get your podcast, download, whatever you have to do. And through the anchor.fm, there's this feature where you can add voice messages while you're listening to the episode. If you want to give me some feedback, whatever, or just say hello, I would be more than happy to reply to you guys. So until next time, be well and peace. Take care.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.